You can find them at the iTunes store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Kathy and Gary Hawk, and they are partners in Get Clarity and also co-partners and co-authors of Get Clarity for Powerful Partnering, From Power Struggles to Co-Creative Adventures. And the third person is the co-author is Teresa Byrne. You have these wonderful graphics, and you have in the back of the book, I want to tell people, it's so exciting. You have folded up in the back of the book is a map. It's a map of a river that just takes you through this whole process graphically. I just was amazed that you got this in the book, and it's right there, and you can see, you know, where you start your course and get your vision, and where you start your partnering, and where you go into eddies, and where you go over, you know, log jams and all sorts of things. So yeah, I just appreciate so much how you put that together. And in the ways that you talk about above the line and below the line in partnership, I want to bring up one particular one because I think we get confused about this. And you have above the line in creating with others. When you're in teams, sometimes there's alignment. And it, we all know that we love alignment when we're all working like that. But what we get kind of afraid of is something called chaotic. And you have that above the line, way up at the top, that that's okay. So I'd love for you to say something about chaotic and chaos.
You are asking about the term chaord, and that is a combination word where chaos and order are put together. And chaos and order is actually a natural system. So when I hear people saying, I'm in chaos, I think they're mixing it up with confusion. Because chaos is right-brained, it's highly creative, it's like all kinds of ideas and inputs coming in, and then the left brain comes in and orders it. So a chaord is actually how our brain systems work, and it's also how nature works. So nature is a chaord. The Big Bang Theory was a chaord. So that's very, having creative ideas and ordering them is a chaord, and that's normal. It's a beautiful structure. The confusion is where you don't know where you're going. I think of confusion as being in the fog. Literally, you can't see your way out. And so that would be the discernment between chaos and order, or a chaord, and being in confusion.
So not to actually get into worrying about, oh, this feels wrong. It's not in alignment. It's not ordered. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's more than okay. If you can't embrace the process of chaos and order as creative, then what happens is you get some pretty boring structures or systems or ideas. It is to learn to embrace chaos is really, really a high level thought.
And so if you're in that part and it feels chaotic, then you go back to your vision? Is that what?
Correct.
You go back to your vision, or I could go into that the attention guide you've been talking about, where then I focus on a different word, or I focus on something else that helps me get my energy above the line. And when I start to do that, I can actually recognize, you know, confusion isn't necessarily a bad energy. Confusion is a high energy place telling me I need to make a decision. I need to focus in a different way. And so then I focus on some energy above the line. And that helps me get through the confusion or get clarity.
So you're feeling confusion. You notice that because it's an energy. And then you turn your attention to something else. You go to, appreciation, you might say, you go to, I don't know, co-creation, or what else could you turn your attention to?
Well, so in confusion, basically you're stuck. That's the way to think about it. You're not going anywhere. You're stuck. I always think a fun one to go through in confusion is to go to excitement and to ask the question, what would excite me? And that'll just trip your mind. Remember, we did the director, producer, performance. So if the performance is confusion and you're stuck, go back to the thought. And I always like to go to, what could excite me now about this project? You know, it's normal that I'm a little bit stuck. So I'm going to go back and be as creative as I can.
I love the idea of directing your movie. So you say, a director would say, cut, cut. They see the actors going into confusion and cut. Okay, let's take that over again, and then you give the direction. Let's go. Remember, this scene is about excitement. and then...
That's a pretty good description of what actually happens. I mean, when I turn... If whether it's confusion or any other kind of draining energy, once I start to feel that, it's my obligation to myself is to live a fully vital life. I have to hold my own energy no matter what. And that means hold my energy above the line, hold my energy effective. So when I start to feel ineffective, it's my obligation right then to stop and say, where is it I want to focus? Where can I focus to bring my energy back up so it becomes more workable?
So what do we do if we're working with someone in partnership, collaboration with a team, and a team member doesn't have this skill that to notice that they're in confusion rather than excitement? How can we help them?
If people aren't trained the way we are in the system, I come in and just I put out a lot of positive energy, because the more, you know, instead of getting down and wallowing in the negative with them, it's basically coming at them with as much positive energy as possible, because you can't control what other people think, but you can influence their energy by the influence of the energy you put out to them, and they can react to that. You can't control whether they react to it, but that's what I, when I'm working with a team that there's some grouchy members in there, I'm going to just double down on really becoming even more positive, even more effective, focusing on sending out even more effective energy.
You know, in my team, this little group that I was working with and continue to work with, one of our meetings that was happening, I was noticing someone on the team was saying something, and I noticed another member of the team started rolling their eyes. You know, and I noticed that. And so what I did was I asked us to slow down. I said, wait, slow down. I notice this person. I turned to the person. I said, I notice you rolled your eyes. Is there something you want to say? Let's bring it out, and because we need to really know what your wisdom here and what's happening here. And then they did. They said, oh, well, here's what I was thinking when I did that. And it was really a wonderful, kind of brought it out from that shadow into the field.
Well, what you just did is what the director did, cut, essentially, and stop. Let's recreate it. And you had a different structure, but that's exactly what the whole process of the director, the producer, the outcome. So then the outcome was changed because you stopped it. See, in partnerships and teams, when things start to go sideways, people don't stop it. They don't. They just kind of let it go on and on and on. So whoever's leading has to be given the authority by the group to stop it, to blow the whistle, like a referee in a game or the director saying cut. But, you know, in all sports, there's always, when the game is going into confusion, somebody blows the whistle.
A referee.
They do. And we say that in teams and partnerships. We'll often say, who's going to blow the whistle? Who's going to be the authority here if things start going wrong, and then reset the field?
In our group, there is, it's a circle without any particular leader. Mm-hmm. That there's no designated leader in our particular group. So I think that it might be good, if that's the case, to have permission for anyone to be the referee and to say, I need, and to say it out loud to people. If you feel anything going on, please say something, and let's all agree that we stop there and we'll do it. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a designated leader.
It doesn't, because shared leadership and shared partnership, that responsibility for every member is to stop the game, blow the whistle if something's going sideways for them. That's a personal responsibility.
Yeah. So I want you to mention something about resistance. I know that you talk about that a bit in your work and in your book. And let's talk about what is resistance and where does it show up and what can we do about it?
On the Clarity River, so you can imagine if you're looking at a river and it's got bends and twists and turns in it, just like all real rivers, the resistance is on one of the bends. And what that does, so resistance is actually a very effective thing, because people think resistance is a bad thing, but resistance actually will slow a flow pattern. So let's remember that we're all in flow. So if life is a river, if we're willing to take that metaphor, and it's not a straight line, there are twists and turns, then the purpose of resistance is to slow the flow pattern enough that you can recenter and relook at things. Now, if it goes on for a long time, that's defiance. Then it goes from a normal part of a flow pattern. So think about electricity. If you stick your finger in the socket, you're creating the resistance. Now, there's, you know, very different outcomes, but that's in electric systems, which are flow patterns, resistance is normal, and so is life. So resistance is actually, when you look at it from an above-the-line perspective, positive, and resistance comes into a conversation or a partnership or a field, it's like, again, it's time to stop. Wait a minute. Are we going too fast here? Do we need to recenter? Do we need to relook at our vision? Do we need to go back to that?
How do we recognize it when we're in the middle of it? What are the signs?
Well, I mean, I guess part of it is one of the questions, if I'm feeling something that's blocking progress, one of the first questions I ask is, am I blocking this project? Is it my energy, what contribution, or is it someone else's? And if it's mine, then I can start focusing my energy so that I'm looking at things from an effective point of view and then recognizing resistance or recognizing that the resistance was in my own thinking. If it's somebody else's, then I've got to do the same thing through influence. By influence my energy or influence the way I ask questions or open up the resistance to effective.
So knowledge. You're not making them wrong.
Yep.
I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Kathy and Gary Hawk. They are partners in Get Clarity. They are partners in life. And they are co-creators and co-authors with Teresa Byrne of Get Clarity for Powerful Partnering, From Power Struggles to Co-Creative Adventures. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Kathy and Gary Hawk. They are the co-authors with Teresa Byrne of Get Clarity for Powerful Partnering. And I would like to go back to what we were talking about in the last segment about resistance. And there's an example that you gave in the book of how it came up for someone. And can you describe that example?
Well, this couple was found a unique property that they started to imagine how it could serve their business and everything. But it was a very unique property. It was an old house behind some office buildings. It was just very unique. So they put in an offer, and then they found out that the plumbing was attached to another house. And so that was resistance. And then when they started to go a little bit further, they found out they couldn't get access without an easement of some kind to have a driveway to their house. And these just keep coming up over the period of 2 or 3 months until they finally realized that resistance was saying, no, this is not the right property. That's how the resistance came in that story.
And then what happened at the end?
They walked away from that one. And then they went on and they opened the next, actually almost in the next week or a couple days later, once they made the decision that we're not doing that property, the perfect home came up. Exactly like they asked for, exactly within the parameters and their dream. And they wouldn't have seen it if they'd have stuck with that one that had so many resistive pieces.
So that's a way of just noticing, wait, this path is going on. Not the first resistance might be, okay, well, we'll focus, we'll get over that hurdle, so to speak. But then when it kept coming at them, that happened for my partner and I when we, same thing. We were buying a property and same thing. And we just kept saying, yes, we can do that. Yes. Finally, we walked away from it. And within weeks, this other property showed up. So it's a great example. I just remembered that.
And I use a rule of three in resistance, but that's just a personal rule. I mean, it could be four for somebody else. But the first one is a hurdle. And then the second one is kind of, then I'm getting a little alerted that there might be a pattern occurring. And then by the third resistance, I say, I am being shown by my guides a pattern. And this is a chance to say no. Close the door. So at a choice point, when a door is closed, then another one will open. And that's the trust that I have in the process, that when you follow guidance like that, then the next door will open.
So you use the word choice point, and I know that's very important in your work. So I'd love for you to describe what is it and how we can make it more effective in our own lives.
Well, in essence, every moment of our life, we're at a choice point. And to begin with, it's how are we thinking? So are we focusing positively or focusing negatively? And it can be a choice points of, do I go do something now, say like go to a grocery store, which is very mundane. However, it is a choice point, and I'll come back to why that might be important. Then there are the really big ones, like do I move? Do I take a new job? Do I marry somebody? Do I divorce somebody? So those are the big choices that are life-changing. And at that moment is when we ask people to stop and really take a look at what lights them up, what is effective, what's working in a situation, or what's not working, and then choose to go in the path that has more what's working in it. And when it's, you know, there was an exercise for years about writing pros and cons. This is a similar mental piece to pros and cons, but we do it by lights on, by does it create energy in you or does it drain you? And at those choice points, because we're in a culture, Justine, where people say, do it even if it kills you, that's energy talk. Don't do it if it kills you. You know, how about the save the best for last? Well, wow. So by the time the last comes, you're so exhausted doing the stuff you didn't like to get there that you're too exhausted to do the best. So we say in Clarity, save the best for first. Do it first. That's our productivity, our positivity before productivity.
So I'm thinking when in that list of pros and cons, that's more, it seems to me, possibly an intellectual process.
Correct.
You go, okay, well, this works and this one will cost this, or, you know, you just go through all mm-hmm. of that. But what you're talking about is a whole body sort of way of looking at it. You're saying, what gives me energy? Mm-hmm. That's a very different viewpoint. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you can elaborate
I mean, you know, choice points, little choice points throughout the day. I mean, what I eat, how did I eat a bunch of store-bought cookies so I've got a stomach ache? Well, I got a choice point the next time that happens, and remembering that energy is draining. And I still love the cookies, but I'm only going to have one or two. Those are all little choice points, but they're all energy-based. You know, I'm paying attention to where's my energy after I did this one thing the last time I made that choice. So I want to make a different choice. And like Kathy said, choice points, we're doing them throughout the day.
And as it goes back to high noticing, to stop doing things out of routine patterns, so that in high noticing, you're checking your energy all the time. That's what you do at choice points. And again, we were taught to do it more analytically, what you're saying. So there's an analytic way to do that. And that those are things that have to be considered, of course, especially like if you're purchasing properties or what have you. But the energetics are equally important. So if you want to take it back to a chaord, the order side is the analytic, the way of looking at it, and the chaos is the energetic. So when you combine them both, you get this beautiful big picture.
So it's not like you just skip the intellect. You use that. That's a partner. That's a partner.
It's a partner.
Your internal partner.
Yes.
But it's not the whole game.
Mm-hmm. It isn't the whole game. And people, you'll see people at choice points choose things that end up draining them because it worked out numerically, or, you know, the numbers. They always say, well, the numbers worked on this side. Of course, I'm not happy, but the numbers worked. And I'm like, uh-oh.
That's good. So there, and even though we don't see a path in front of us, clearly, you're saying it's more beneficial to and more sustainable to follow the energy.
One of the first words above the line is trust. Well, trust is a high energy. So if I'm feeling energy and it's attracting me to that one direction, I'm going to trust that. I want to take the next step. And then that'll deepen my trust for taking the next step. I'm constantly following what it is that lights me up on either a project, a thought, a book, a relationship. It's always running it through that filter. Does it light me up or does it drain my energy?
You know, I'm getting the visual in my mind right now of driving a highway, a windy highway that I've never been on before. This is kind of like that when, okay, that didn't light me up over there, but I'm going to make this decision. And it's dark, dark night. And all I can see is as far as my headlights are lighting up. And so it's like those baby steps, and I just keep following that highway the way those lights lead me.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Well, you've gone to the edge of your light, and then what happens, and that is the energetic system, when you look back, you realize how far you came. And in the dark, you don't know that. A fable with Hansel and Gretel is the way they got out of the dark forest if by following the crumbs. Well, what if the crumbs are the next lights on step? What if that? And you don't have to see how you're going to get out. You're not reading the end of the book before you have the journey kind of thing. You just follow the next energetic step.
So I hear you repeating over and over again is to stay above the line is to really be in a more positive energy, to not focus on what we habitually do is what's not working, but what is working. So I'd love for you to end this conversation with really talking about that and encouraging us.
Well, as life is a journey, if I were to ask somebody to say, well, let's imagine they're going to move, they're going to relocate. And I would say to you, what's your vision? Where do you want to go? And they would say, and I'm just going to make this up, well, I don't want to move to Memphis. Okay, So now they focused on what they don't want, and now we have no direction. Do you see, we don't know where we're going. We are stuck. However, if they say, if I ask the same question, what is your vision for where you're moving? And they say, well, I'm not really sure, but I think I'll give a try to, let's say, Denver or San Francisco or something like that. Now we have a directional signal. Do you see, by that momentary shift of focusing for possibility, what might work, even if we don't know for sure, at least we've got flow. When they focus on what they don't want, then there's no flow.
That like the log jam on the river?
It is like the log jam. Yeah. You've reached a log jam. You got to pull them out to get flow. So even if you don't know and you're curious, that will create more flow than saying what they don't want.
And I love the word curious, and I know that you use it a lot. Mm-hmm. That's above the line.
Yes.
To be curious.
Very high energy work.
That's yes. Great. I love it. It's one of my favorite words. I want to thank you both for being part of New Dimensions today. Thank you so much. I've been speaking with Kathy Hawk and Gary Hawk, and they are the co-authors, along with Teresa Byrne, of Get Clarity for Powerful Partnering, From Power Struggles to Co-Creative Adventures. And they are partners in Get Clarity. And if you want to know more about their work, you can go to their website, getclarity.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3660.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over 4 decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org, or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support, and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hello, I'm Ken Pelletier, author of Change Your Genes, Change Your Life. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about creating optimal health with the new science of epigenetics.
Hello, this is Boris Chassaigne. To get a feel on what's happening across the country, listen to Viewpoints. For reports, interviews, and documentaries on politics, arts and culture, the environment, housing, and more. Thanks to 30 journalists stationed in the Canadian provinces and territories. Local news nationwide. Mondays at 4:30 p.m. on CJSF 90.1 FM and streaming online at cjsf.ca.
You're listening to CJSF.